You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, we haven't done a primer for the college basketball season when it started, but now seems to be a good time as we're getting, about 2 months away from March Madness. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Jerry Palm joins us, CBS Sports. Talk some college hoops. How are you, Jerry?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. We ask this a lot during college football, and with college basketball, games are being postponed every night. Villanova hasn't played in a while. How difficult has it been to sort of get an ebb and flow to this season?
Yeah, it's been hard for sure. For the teams playing, you know, you shut your program down for a couple of weeks and you can't even practice. It's hard to keep much of a rhythm. And among the higher-rated teams in college basketball, Villanova is the most prominent that's dealt with this for a prolonged length of time. I think they're coming back this week, so we should see the Wilds. Oh, actually, they played last night and won. They beat Seton Hall, so they are back now.
But
it's been difficult. There are certainly some programs that have had to deal with this, and there's going to be more. I've got my current list is in the mid-40s, the number of teams that have had to cancel at least their most recent game, if not more.
In terms of, like, we in football, we were debating what would this mean for a four-team playoff, but because of 68 teams, is it still could it still be a problem when the committee comes together to create the bracket?
It can be in some regards. I don't know how much the committee is going to be able to take games canceled into account. They can only judge you on what you've done, not what you might have been able to do, or, you know, they can't base your strength of schedule on games you didn't play. That'll still be true. It's just that this year they've got more of those games out there, games that weren't getting played or got postponed, or, you know, teams in unusual situations that they might, you know, consider, because they do consider the circumstances that teams play games under, but those circumstances seem to be, you know, universal this year, affecting everybody in some way, maybe some in more ways than others. But it'll be interesting to see what the committee does. But I don't think you're going to see things like teams a game above 500 making the tournament unless they've played some kind of ridiculous schedule. But you know, normally it would be like four games above 500 is what it would take to get you in the tournament. This year you might see teams get in fewer than four games just because you've got fewer games played.
So Duke is out of the top 25. I was racking my brain to try to figure out last time Duke struggled. I thought it was like the Krzyzewski back injury days, but I can't really remember. But what has gone on with the Blue Devils? Why are they not playing particularly well?
Well, they haven't played particularly much. I mean, that's another program that I think that was, they still haven't played 10 games. They're 5-4 now. So I think part of it is just lack of, you know, a rhythm, lack of playing. But part of it might just be that they're not as good as people thought they were.
Yeah.
They haven't beaten anybody of note. What's the kid's name? Johnson, I think, had a big night last night. So maybe that, you know, can bode well for their future if they can play around him. But so far, they just haven't been able to find any kind of a rhythm. The better teams they've played, which are not numerous, have all beaten them. They just haven't been able to get on the right foot yet, but there's still 2 months to go. And if they can, you know, play, you know, now without interruption for a while, maybe they can get a rhythm going.
The ACC overall, there's Virginia, there's Virginia Tech, there's Clemson. They're all in the top 25. Overall as a conference, one of the stronger conferences we see year in and year out for college basketball. It's a small sample size. I get it. But what's the early feeling on that conference?
Yeah, well, last year was a down year. Then they didn't get to obviously have an NCAA tournament where you would have seen, you know, fewer teams and seeded lower than we're used to from the ACC. But I think that'll be the case again this year. Virginia just got their first win of the season that mattered at all. The 35-point drubbing of Clemson, so a pretty impressive win nonetheless. But that was their first quality win at all. They haven't even played really very many good teams this year. Virginia Tech has been pretty good. Virginia, Clemson, like you say, but I don't have any of those teams seated above a four in my current bracket. Plenty of time to go, almost 2 months till Selection Sunday. So a lot can change, but there just doesn't seem to be a strong contender in that league this year. And the ACC has had quite a few games postponed. And so they've been among the major conferences, probably the most impacted by COVID-related postponements. So that could be part of whatever problem the league is having.
A team that popped out to me and has been popping out, especially last night, is Alabama. That was a 30-point win against a good LSU team. 23 three-pointers in a 40-minute game? I mean, what is Nate Oates doing down there?
Well, you know, that's going to be, we're going to call that an above-average night.
Yeah, I got you,
For Alabama. I'm willing to bet that's their season high for three-pointers. that's just one of those nights where everything's going right, and there isn't a whole lot LSU can do about it at that point. I mean, you can only, I guess you could put all five defenders on the 3-point line, but then you're giving up layups too. So that's just one of those days where you shake their hand and get ready for the next day. And Alabama's probably got an 0-for-15 coming. To make up for that at some point. We've seen a lot of surprisingly high margin games. And I wonder if some of that might not be COVID related or rhythm, the lack of a rhythm due to COVID things going on where you just, even last night, Tennessee, a top 10 team, got crushed at Florida.
Exactly.
Virginia beat Clemson by 35. I mean, it seems like everybody's got a game like that, or is getting to the point where we have everybody has a game like that, where you just lay an egg. And we won't see it from Gonzaga because they've been through the better part of their schedule and now they're in their league. But, Kansas got smoked by Texas at home. It's some ridiculously high margins in games that have gotten away from teams that are otherwise very good. And that's kind of been a surprise.
Baylor off to an unbeaten start, number two in the nation. I thought losing Freddie Gillespie would hurt them a little bit, but again, I know we're still got 2 months left in the season, but how national championship worthy is Baylor?
Oh, totally. I just feel like we kind of got robbed of one of the great anticipated matchups in preseason, pre-conference season college basketball when the Baylor-Gonzaga game had to be postponed, well, ultimately canceled. So maybe we'll get it in March or April, but that's an outstanding team. And when they got Butler back, instead of going pro, I think that was huge for them because he's a player of the year candidate, outstanding player. And I just think it was a big boost to them because they've got a lot of other very good pieces, obviously. But getting him back and not losing him to the NBA, I thought was huge.
What's your take, Jerry? We're talking to Jerry Palm of CBS Sports. There's a media angle to it, and there's a fan side to it, where the NCAA tournament will be in Indiana. What are your thoughts on one state, one locale? COVID probably is it is the main reason for it, and it facilitates that decision. But is it good to be all confined in one area?
Well, I think it is for to try and get a tournament played in a COVID environment because what you've done is you've reduced travel. So everybody goes to one spot. They're not going to, places one weekend and then the next weekend and then the next weekend and going back and forth from home and all of that. They're just in one spot. You go, when you lose, you go home. And that's all your travel. And I think that it's not going to be a pure bubble like the NBA had, but it's going to be as close as they can to accommodate that many teams. And I think it's as safe as they can, an environment that they can create to play this tournament. Indianapolis is very well equipped to host an event like this. They're going to play some of the early games at Mackey Arena at Purdue, which is about an hour north, and at IU's Assembly Hall, about an hour south. But everything else will be in Indianapolis, and I think it's going to be great to get the tournament in, to play it in that environment. That's not something you want to do every year because you want to spread the wealth around the country when it comes, and make it geographically easy for more teams. But for this situation, I think this is the best they could do.
We're catching you early. We've still got 2 months left. But one question that arises late in the season as we head into the tournament is mid majors. How are mid majors doing so far?
Well, there are a few that are doing pretty well. Winthrop, I believe, is still undefeated. Drake is still undefeated in the Missouri Valley. So you've got a couple of teams that are standing out. The Mountain West could put three or four teams in the tournament this year. Boise State and Utah State are playing well. So I don't know how many of these teams we're seeing in the top 25. Probably not. But and I don't know. It's what we don't have is like some of the bigger non-conference games where the teams like this could really show themselves.
Yeah.
Because so many non-conference games, we're only playing about 42% of the non-conference schedule that we would normally play in terms of the number of games. So these teams may not really fully get a chance to prove themselves until we get to March. I may not get seeded as well as they would normally get until, you know, because of the lack of ability to prove themselves outside the league. But yeah, there's definitely going to be teams that are dangerous in that part of the bracket.
Jerry, always good talking to you, my friend, and we'll try to catch up with you later on as the season gets more and more under our belt.
All right, sounds good. Thanks.
You got it. Jerry Palm, CBS Sports, talking some college basketball. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Court Explorer, only at progressive.com. Interesting point about rhythm. That might be Duke's problem right now, is that they never really got off to a rhythm, but they're still Duke. I mean, you expect they bring in good talent. They have a great coach who can, you know, utilize that talent. And right now they're just kind of struggling, and right, kind of just middle of the road. But, you know, we kind of looked at the beginning of the season, and the beginning of the college basketball season is where you get the Maui Invitational and you get all these other kind of tournaments, and some of them went down and some of them had to be canceled. But there is a feeling like you can get things organized with your team before you step into conference play and then roll along. College football does it with just a couple of games, maybe to kick off the season. Some are good matchups, some are cupcakes, but then you realize where the bread and butter is, and that is playing within your conference. And some of these tournaments that were committed to years ago, teams just sort of had to pull out and sort of scramble. But Villanova just coming back after being off, they were off before Christmas. I think it was the 23rd of December, their last game that they played. So how do you evaluate properly these teams where you're getting to see them and then you're not seeing them for a while, then you're seeing them again? It's a little difficult, but it's not as imperative as what we were talking about in college football, where we're talking about four teams. We have a big expanded tournament here. And again, I think that still plays out that if you still can't get into this thing, stoppage of play, non-stoppage of play, rhythm, no rhythm, whatever the reason for your failures in this season, I still think it is on you to try to get into this tournament. All right, coming up, we'll continue our look, a quick look at the championship weekend in the NFL as we finish up the hour on Wake Up Call.